Well, it's time now for the Asia Pacific Report, and joining us on the line we have Sanusha Naidu. Sanusha, very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning, Suleiman. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Let's start with North Korea. They have fired projectiles into the sea days after a missile test.
Yeah, this is a developing story, and it's getting very, very strategic, and it's becoming quite an important issue in the Asia-Pacific region, in particular in East Asia. So what has happened is that South Korea, after 6 months of being on a kind of muted plane, they decided to test two ballistic missiles, short-range ballistic missiles, as well as do a more general missile test. And this has now produced a reaction from South Korea, where South Korea has also tested missiles. So there's a heating set of tensions within that region, and the missile test that North Korea tested actually came very short of being of landing in Japan's exclusive economic zone. So this is a worrying situation. The UN Security Council is going to be having emergency meetings about this. The North Korean leader's sister was sending out warning signals and warning messages to South Korea, saying that they will not tolerate any kind of aggression, and that they will try, South Korea must maintain its position and so forth. And it's becoming quite a serious situation in the region itself, because it has dire implications for security, stability, and of course, China, being the other big actor in the region, has also weighed in with discussions with South Korea as well as with North Korea, trying to stabilize the situation. But again, you know, the North Korean issue, after 6 months of stalled discussions on denuclearization, has not been able to move forward. And this is now a projection of power, projection that the North Korean leader is trying to show everyone that this is not something that people in the region, and particularly actors in the region, as well as the U.S. and the global community, need to take lightly.
Now, Southeast Asian countries are choosing to reopen and balance the virus with the economy. Tell us about that.
So, like South Africa, countries in Southeast Asia have been in a very severe lockdown. It's been, you know, trying to contain the virus, and of course trying to ensure that there's no kind of spread in terms of how you go through lockdown measures. So, but the problem here is that there's an increasing sense of exhaustion. And what's happening is that now countries like Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, etc., they're trying to basically say, well, let's coexist with the virus. In other words, we can't keep going through this ebb and flow. For example, in Vietnam, you know, because of this whole situation, you saw in Vietnam, food prices escalated. People are feeling the pinch. They're not being able to live in terms of lives and livelihoods. So at the end of the day, what you're having is that the crippling restrictions of the economy, of the economic lockdown, implications of the lockdown on the economy, has now been able to see that the people want, for example, to move back to be able to earn a livelihood. For example, in Thailand, the whole tourism industry has been in a state of decimation. So, for example, tourist destinations like Thailand, Bali, Phuket and other places which are beach resort areas are trying to regain or reopen in order to attract tourists to come back in. But of course, you know, this all is basically dependent on how the governments in those countries are able to also ensure that they don't open up more avenues of super spreaders, more avenues of people becoming infected, and of course trying to ensure that there's some level of containment of the virus. So in contrast to Europe and the U.S., which have already moved down to the lockdown measures where they're reopening their economy and so forth, in the case of Southeast Asia, I think they're still dealing with the fallout of the Delta variant. And more importantly, you've got the same situation like in South Africa, where businesses are essentially going to liquidation, workers are losing their job, especially in the service industry, you know, labor-intensive industries and so forth.
And then finally, Indian women in Tamil Nadu have won the right to sit at work. What is this about?
This is a fascinating story, Suleiman. I mean, it's something that you would think that if you are working an eight-hour shift in a sari shop or in a clothing and textile shop, etc., that you'll be able to have better working conditions. Now, two or three years ago, the state of Kerala passed a law to say that women need to have particular rights in order for them to be part of the whole, in order for the labor laws in the state of Kerala to acknowledge that women have to be able not to be forced to be standing for 8 hours, especially in retail, textile and jewelry outlets, and basically saying to the shop owners, well, you must ensure that your conditions of service and your working conditions don't create undue pressure on women. So for the longest time ever, in Tamil Nadu and other places, there's been this whole debate and movement to say that there must be changes in the law, in the labor law, where commercial shops, essentially where women are working, they actually create the conditions, particularly in terms of ensuring that women have regular bathroom breaks, they have a lunch break, they're able to sit on a stool if there's no customer in the shop. And what these shops have been doing is that they've been having CCTV footage, and that CCTV footage has been showing that if women sit or if they take a longer than expected bathroom break or a lunch break, then they've been docking their pay. So this law is called the right to sit bill in Tamil Nadu. It was passed. And, of course, now it means that women are able to have the kind of rights and simple rights that you would expect. You and I would expect this to be just something that shop owners would grant their workers. But in the case of particular shops in Tamil Nadu, they haven't been doing that. So this is quite an important victory in terms of women being able to exercise their rights of equity, but also exercise their rights in terms of working conditions.
All right, Nisha, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you always.